The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. After a couple of weeks off, the floor is yours. We're open line through till 1 o'clock today by calling 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Thanks to Alan. Dropped a note in just to say, How can we pitch ourselves as an international finance centre when we can't get the airport open? It's not like nobody knew this was going to happen. We have got forecasters. We do know what's happening. It did happen a while. The airport is closed today after snow and hard ice affected the runway. Alabang government says the decision about tomorrow is going to be made later. No patient transfer tomorrow, and if you got a medical appointment, you're advised to check your travel warrant for all the details. The airport is closed. That means many people who should have been leaving the Isle of Man after a Christmas break and going elsewhere are sitting here twiddling their thumbs. And people who were due to be here, possibly international business people, possibly people who wanted to bring business to the Isle of Man, will say, oh, the Isle of Man, yes. They got some snow. They closed the airport. Have they got that de-icing fluid? Have they got the proper fluid to actually de-ice everywhere? Have they got the anti-ice or is it the de-ice? Well, I'm sure we'll know in the future, won't we? David's first with us today. Hi, David.
But I wanted to talk quickly about a couple of subjects, really. One was to do what's happening with the bishop. What are our politicians doing now? They haven't voted on anything. I don't know where it's at. It went to the MLCs for a bit of a chit-chat. Haven't heard out what's going on there to see whether the bishop's going to stay, go, or have a vote. In my personal opinion, just throw it out there, can't see the problem with the bishop having been an MLC and non-elected. I've been under them, a few bishops over a number of years when I was in Parliament there. They are very good. They don't cross the line on party political policies and stuff like that. But they bring a sense towards, I think, Timald anyway, and the MLCs. But the second thing, Andy, I wanted to bring in too was the Minister for DOI, just before Christmas, put a statement out regarding Clause 5, you know, the Local Government Act.
Yes.
That's going forward. All local authorities are against it, totally, 100%. Clause 5 should be, with a Tippex pen, be right through it. But I believe she sent a letter out. The rumour on the street is, anyway, but I've had it confirmed, that the MLC's got a letter from her regarding when it comes up for a vote again in the future there, is not to support the amendments they did when they did the amendments, being an MLC. You know, when they had the consultation with the local authorities?
Yep.
And they had a big chit-chat there. I've never seen so many local authority members in the chamber, in the Timbal chamber there, and putting a point across that what they were trying to do, or what the minister was trying to do with the help of, from Ramsey, the MHK up there, was wrong. They never consulted on it and what's happening. And I could just do with an update. Or maybe you could find out in the future what's happening with both of those.
Yeah, interesting, as you say, that the fact that there seems to be this squabble between, or this new clause that will put a wedge in between government and local authorities. It's the sort of thing that leaves the ordinary voter, the ordinary constituent, kind of looking at their feet and thinking, what's all this about? Why is this happening?
Yeah. And what it is, basically what it is, for people who don't know actually, is to tell the DOI then could tell a local authority to do something which it A, hasn't got the funds for, and B, hasn't got the resources. And we have that in sort of like a contract we've already had some time ago when Phil Gorm was there. I wish Phil would do another one of his Sunday or Monday opinions on this sort of thing for the future. It, when Phil did it, there was a clause put in the document there that every year they had to consult with the local authority and to see whether there were improvements or things were going well or we needed to let things go. And they've never done it. And that was for 5 years. They've never done the consultation. And she is the minister. Whether she likes it or not, she's the minister. And the minister's always responsible for her department. And never mind about the 20 miles an hour. I'm just waiting for the first plate to go up.
Do you think that the bishop's vote has now been pushed to one side? Do you think that they'll ever take the vote off the bishop?
Personally, I hope they don't, because at the end of the day, you're in an organisation, say, I'll use the football analogy there, I'm the president of the football club in Onken there, right? So if I didn't get a vote, what's the sense of me being there? And that's the issue that I have, is when a person needs to contribute to something, an organisation, whether it's political, social, or a charity or whatever, if you're head of a charity, you need a vote at the end of the day, because at the end of the day you want to make sure your point is put across and you can support either way on it. And I do think Hooper's definitely wrong on this one. I don't know why he's doing that or did it at the end of the day, and I don't know why the minister's hanging on to it all the time. All she's got to do, and she's got an opportunity in 2026 now, is just to say to the local authorities, okay, we didn't consult with you, but we've got it wrong and we're not going to do it. And we can still talk to each other. You know, every day the door's open, isn't it? Monday to Friday, the door's open for every local authority. And once you undermine a local authority from a central government department there, things are wrong. It's definitely wrong.
Okay.
Never mind Trump and Venezuela. All right?
All right. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. I want to go to John, who's with us now. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you doing there? I just want to wish you a Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year.
For 26, and I hope it's going to be a wonderful year. Well, me and my wife went to sunny Florida for 10 days, lovely sunny weather there. And we had some good flights, we were just delayed, we had busy airports, everything was running pretty well good. But the highlight was coming back to the Isle of Man here. The flight left here, we were 17:30 the flight left on Friday, and you know, we had a fair few people on, and when we were coming just about 18:50, just before that time, the captain said, get ready for landing, like, you know. And then another 5 minutes said, I'm sorry, but we've got some bad news for you. The control tower has said that we've missed our slot by 5 minutes, so because they want a tea break for 40 minutes. So the good news is we've got enough fuel on board to fly around. So we stayed up in the air, supposed to be for 40 minutes, but it ended up being 50 minutes. And, you know, he said, I just hope that we're going to get news now to land. So I just thought, well, we might as well halfway fly back to Florida again. You know, we'd be on the way going back there.
So I thought to myself, did you get back eventually then?
Yeah, well, I was talking about safety, I thought. Wouldn't you feel safer on the ground than in the air? I would have rather having a late tea break and been on the ground rather than up in the air for 50 minutes going round. Talk about air miles. I think one thing we did overpay our tickets, so I thought maybe we should get our money's worth for what we paid for.
I must say
EasyJet was fantastic, like, you know, the captain, what he did say was, he said, I don't know any other airport in the world that does this sort of thing, like, you know. But so everybody was late, and even the flights going out, they had to wait for it as well for this wonderful tea break, like,
crikey.
You know.
Well, all right.
So it's nothing to do, Andy, with the aeroplanes. They're fantastic, like, you know.
Good.
But it's just, this is the problem here at the airport, I believe. Like, I could
and
put
did
it
you
down
get a that. Did you get a nice tan, John?
Yes, I got a 10, but I was getting a little bit jet lagged, so I thought, you know, just to tell people that if they are coming to the Isle of Man, that they might get there, or it might end up being a long flight, or you might end up going back again.
All right. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you very much.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? The air traffic. It's not a tea break, by the way. Let's just get that straight. It's not a tea break. It's a fatigue break. This is the story about not having enough air traffic controllers. And because we don't have enough air traffic controllers and they are mandated to have fatigue breaks, they can't just work on through because it's a highly stressful job. And of course, the consequences of getting air traffic control wrong can be devastating. Let's not, you know, make light of this. The fact is, an incorrect movement in air traffic control can mean all sorts of things. And not good ones. So they have to have mandated fatigue breaks. But the problem is they don't have enough air traffic controllers. So when a couple of people do go on a fatigue break, they may have tea or coffee or Bonvita or something, or Milo, then we just have to close the airport down. And as you heard, EasyJet just have to whiz around. Now, that may or may not be right, that what the EasyJet captain said, that nowhere else in the world does this happens. But again, just imagine you are not just a Manxman with family coming back to the Isle of Man from a holiday in Florida, but you're an international business person from Singapore, from Dubai, South Africa, New York, Washington, Paris, Munich, Rome. And you come to the Isle of Man and we whiz around for another 40 minutes because we don't have enough air traffic controllers. When does a reason become an excuse, I think? And that's a point that Alan was making earlier on. The fact is, we used to have a perfectly serviceable airport. Perfectly serviceable airport that ran for years and years and years when it had far more destinations than we have now. It just seems that now our margin for tolerance, if you like, seems to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And is anybody going to stand up and say that's my fault? Paul on with us now. Hello, Paul. We'll find Paul in a moment. In that case, we'll get Julian. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And, happy New Year to everyone else. I just hope that they manage to get away. It sounds like the airport's closed for the day now, I think.
It is. Yes, it is indeed. I think somebody's out there making a snowman on the runway. I'm only joking, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you mentioned something a little bit earlier about your hope that they're using the right de-icing fluids. And it's interesting that a lot of airports are prioritizing environmental impacts of the de-icing fluids. And I just wonder what they are using at Ronald's Way in these conditions, because they're tending to move away from the potentially more effective glycol-based ones. There's a product called Glycomex, so ethylene or propylene glycol, which is highly effective at shifting existing ice and, you know, compacted hail and stuff. And they're moving towards potassium acetate and potassium formate formulations, which normally have the brand name Clearway. But they're known that these eco ones, they're really a pre-treatment. They're not a post-treatment once it's already down, and you need to use what could be termed the more polluting glycol type de-icers. So if they're trying to shift the ice this morning after the fact with an eco one, it's not going to work, which might be why that the airport's closed the whole day. Now, I don't know this, but it would be useful to know if they're trying to clear it with the eco one and not the actual one they need to use, the older glycol-based ones.
Yeah, but presumably they've got snow plows, haven't they? They've got stuff that will get the snow away.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, in some places they have like a heating bar, don't they, where they actually blow hot air down onto it and then a sweep comes behind it. But, when you look at the move towards this eco-type glycol stuff, it does make you wonder whether it's as effective. I mean, you know, they use glycol in the likes of Chicago Airport and Scandinavia and things, and it shifts pretty quick. But it just seems odd. I mean, we've had snow in the past and it's been cleared fairly quickly. It just seems for some reason, I'm just wondering if it's this move towards this eco-friendly the icing fluid. Sometimes it reminds me of some of these washing up liquids, which they're not quite as good as fairy, if you know what I mean.
Well, somebody somewhere has decided that this isn't a priority. And I don't want to make, you know, I don't want to be too black and white about this, but somebody somewhere has said, actually, forget it today, boys. Forget it. There's either nothing we can do or there's stuff we can do, but we're not going to do it. But for an international finance centre, the first Monday back in a new year, and lots of things happen on the first Monday back in a new year, particularly people coming back or people leaving, and suddenly to say, no, we'll have a day off, shall we? I just wonder, there may be perfectly cogent reasons for it, but what does it say about us, Julian?
I mean, it's almost like that glowy thing up in the sky is being used as the de-icer these days. And, you know, it's, whether or not it's cloudy or sunny at Ronsway at the moment, I'm not sure. But they seem to just sort of, well, you know, we'll just wait till tomorrow then. But, you know, if you go back to, I don't know, 1963 or even 1947, I mean, it was all hands clearing up, wasn't it? I mean, you know, Britain was in Siberian 12-foot snowdrifts. Yeah. They got it moving pretty quick, didn't they?
Well, the thing is that we can get mired in process, and process seems to be at the foot of many, many things. But the trouble is, surely it's an outcome that we need to focus on rather than the process. There are all sorts of things that possibly, you know, and before they say things like, our first priority is your safety, well, we take that as read. You know, the first priority surely is to get the airport moving and to get airplanes doing what they're supposed to do, which is moving people to and from the Isle of Man in comfort, in safety, on time.
Yeah, it seems that health and safety's kind of gone mad, really, doesn't it? It's having the inverse effect now. It's just stressing people out. Probably, yeah. You know, it's going the other way. I don't know that. As you say, they're just kind of, let's leave it, boys. It just seemed that way, doesn't it?
Well, put it this way. If you're working inside, you know, Business Isle of Man, Locate Isle of Man, inside the Enterprise department, and this sort of things happen, then you kind of feel sorry for the people inside Enterprise because they're trying to sell a brush that doesn't sweep.
Yeah. And I'm not aware. I'm sure somebody will come on and say, I mean, what was the level of the gritters out last night and the icing around the island's roads? I mean, was it obvious that it was being heavily done? I don't know. I mean, have you had any reports of that?
Well, Civil Defence were doing some of it, and obviously the department do some of it, but apparently the snow happened between 3 and 4, and it wasn't in the forecast. Of course, the airport does have a de-icer, but presumably, if there's any more precipitation, if it rains, it washes it away. So they've had snow plows there doing their stuff and what have you. But the thing is, I got a message in just to say that the airport is situated inside a nature reserve, Julian, which constrains chemicals that they can use. I didn't know that, did you?
Well, yes, is it the special scientific interest area? But right. You mentioned washing away. I also noticed that the glycol stuff has a higher viscosity, so it tends to hold, and, you know, it's obviously, I think, minus 50 or whatever its melting point is, whereas this new eco-potassium acetate stuff, it has a the holdover time is less, and it's got a faster runoff. So even though it's more eco-friendly, it doesn't stick and do its job as well either. Yeah. I just wonder, it's such a big difference now for a very kind of what looked like a pretty mild, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, we had, remember 2011 and 2013? I mean, Yeah. You know, that was pretty serious stuff. I don't know, it strikes me as is odd. And I wonder at Liverpool Airport as well what fluids they're using. I wonder, because, you know, it's unusual that Liverpool Airport would be closed for this duration as well.
Well, you have to, I mean, put it this way, you have to ask, what's an airport for? It's to move air travel, freight, people. It's to move things to and fro. I didn't know that there was something in the way that said, by the way, you can't use these chemicals because of this. So What was there first? Was it the special site of scientific knowledge, or was it the airport? Which came first, Julian?
I would say probably the airports first.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that special scientific interest thing was part of the reason why I think they gave up on putting a landing ramp for the wind turbine blades, because it would have made a right mess of that area. So that's all tied up with that, I would imagine.
Okay. All right. Well, there we are.
Anyway, it's thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that, Julian. The thing is, the airport's closed today after snow and hard ice affected the runway. I think we found Paul now. Hello, Paul. I think we found Paul, have we? No, dear me, it's one of those days. Pat's on then. Hi, Pat.
Hello there. Blind by Noah.
And you too as well. All the very best.
No, thank you. I was just wanting to make some comments about the pension and benefit payout situation. Last Wednesday was the last day that you could use a MyCard in the post office.
Yeah.
But the local post offices had received emails from someone saying they were not to do any payments out on the Wednesday. And that included anyone who was due back payments, anyone who was due benefit payments, which are disability benefit payments, which are actually paid out on a Wednesday. I had gone into the post office. I thought I cleared my pension account. And I'd asked them to check the card, and to my astonishment, I found there was one on the card, and I wasn't allowed to collect the benefit. I emailed my local MHKs, the Treasury Minister, and Stu Peters, and I got a reply from the Treasury Minister saying there had been a glitch in paying pensions, but the post office had been sorted, and the post offices had now instructed to pay the pensions out that were due on the Wednesday. That was not true in the case of post offices like Laxey. They were just totally had got no instructed not to pay, have their pensions paid. I went in again on Friday. I happened to post a parcel, showed them the correspondence I had, and they said they had been told again on Friday not to pay out any pensions. And that included one where they said a lady who obviously had got one of the 2026 cards had been told on the Tuesday that the pensions, she could collect her Friday's pension on the Tuesday, but that she had to go to either Douglas, Ramsey, or PO post offices. Those were the only ones that were going to be authorised to pay pensions. I'm in Laxey, and no one had been told. The post office staff seemed quite upset. They hadn't had any instruction that they were not to pay pensions out. Well, they had had instructions to pay not to pay pensions out, but there was no explanation, and they certainly hadn't been involved and told that they were not in the future going to be able to pay any pensions out. And I just think the whole situation is an absolute disgrace. It's just secretly trying to close the post offices down, take staff out of employment, and basically make it extremely awkward for anyone to pick up pensions and benefits. When you get a pension initially, you're asked to nominate a post office that you will pick it up from. So people, obviously, locally would say Laxey. Now they've got to go 8 or 9 miles, presumably to Douglas or Ramsey, to get that. And that includes disabled people getting their benefits.
So what would you like to happen now?
I think everyone who wants a pension paid at the local post offices or a benefit paid should be allowed to continue to get them at their local village post office, not have to travel elsewhere to go and get them. I don't know what's going to happen with cheques being sent out to those who have not given bank accounts, whether they're going to be told they've got to nominate a post office. You know, no one has been told anything about what will happen in 2026 how often they will be sent checks, when they will get them. I mean, the post has been taking over a week just to deliver postcard, Christmas cards weekly. And, you know, the fact that no one from government seems to know what is happening. The Treasury Minister seems to have been either led astray or deliberately not indicating that he knew there was only certain post offices going to be allowed to either cash checks or pay out benefits. I don't know what happens in the south of the island. I'm not sure how many post offices there still are there, but you know, Castletown or Port Erin, but they've told to go to Douglas or Peel. It's, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Do you have any sympathy for the government's position at all?
No. I mean, they say this is all to save costs to begin with, but they're basically they're putting the cost onto the person receiving the benefit of the pension, who is now going to have to travel considerable distance in many cases to get it. If they, you know, if they still want to collect the benefits in cash, you know, people have given up and opened bank accounts or given them bank account details, but when you're stuck in a place where either you have to rely on a cash machine which may or may not work, it's just totally unfair.
Yeah.
On the populace as a whole.
Later on this year, people will be knocking on your door asking for your vote in the general election. Is this something that you'll bring up?
Well, by that time, one would hope there'd been a better resolution by that time. But yes, I mean, it would be nice to get a response from one's local MHKs, but in my case, they can't ask questions because one of them's in Treasury and the other's a minister.
Right.
So,
okay.
You have to get someone else's MHK to start asking questions at Tynwald. What is going on and why? Well, why they are actually treating local post office staff like the way they are? Never mind the people who are receiving the benefits.
Okay.
It is totally upsetting for them, and you know, when someone comes in behind you and is disabled and has got 2 weeks of benefits to pick up and can't get either of them, that, you know, the day before Christmas.
Well, something's not right there, is there?
Or no, rather New Year, wasn't it? Not Christmas, but it is totally wrong. I think other people should take up querying with their MHKs what is going on.
All right. We appreciate you bringing the subject up today. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right, good to hear from you. I'm going to try Paul once again. Hello, Paul.
How am I, Andy?
Well, there you are, down the bottom of that big pipe. What's on your mind today, Paul?
Well, first of my is blaming via Noel, Andy. Happy New Year to everyone. I'd like to send a message out to the Manx people in particular, but obviously to all people of the island, because there's a big year coming up this year, Andy, isn't there?
In what way? The World Cup, you mean?
The general election.
Oh, right, OK, yes, the general election.
So I'd just like to put it out there so everybody understands the status quo with these things, Andy. With, as you know, great authority comes great responsibility.
Are you going to be standing?
Well, Andy, let's get to know each other first, shall we? First time caller, long time listener, Andy. The message is for everybody to understand the responsibility that they have as an individual this year.
Well, it just depends who stands, Paul, because if... Remember, if people do want change, then different people have to stand. And if they don't want change, they have to vote for the people that are already there. As you say, everybody's got the vote. We've all got the same vote. Millionaires and paupers have all got one vote. And it's up to you to use it and use it wisely. And thanks for calling today. Man in Line is on through, if I can just rescue my voice, Man in Line is on through till 1 o'clock. Crikey, is it 25 to 1 already?
Dig it, lift it, dump it, load it. When you need to just get on and do it, Gun JCB it. Based in Spring Valley Trading Estate, they're the experts in JCB machinery sales, parts and servicing. JCB have been on the island since 1960, so their local experience and knowledge will help find the ideal equipment for your project. Just call 664-866 and ask for Matt for machine sales and Dave for parts and servicing. Gun JCB. Just do it.
Give your home a facelift with Manx Glass and Glazing. Whether choosing aluminium or UPVC in traditional or contemporary styles, you can be sure of excellent workmanship and guarantees. Members of Construction Isle of Man and family run for over 30 years, Manx Glass and Glazing are committed to the local community. And they invest in future generations through their apprenticeship scheme. Visit the impressive showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
Flu season is here, but never fear. So is the chance to protect yourself. Whether you qualify for a free NHS flu jab or would like a private vaccination for just £20, Kingsley Mooty has made it quick and easy to get protected. Visit Kingsley Mooty on Facebook or call 625 040. Get your flu jab today with Kingsley Mooty.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
As 2026 splutters into action, this evening's agenda offers a few predictions and insights into the year that lies before us. This year we'll see 24 members elected to the House of Keys for a new five-year term. So will any of the current members who stand again fall victim to public dissatisfaction? Also, with the Treasury Minister being stretched in all directions, will he be able to deliver a popular budget to help the sitting Keys members retain their seats? Find out what some political commentators think on agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Will our political crystal balls prove to be accurate? Probably not.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Here's Viv with us now. Hi, Viv.
Good afternoon, Andy, and a very happy new year to you.
And you too as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, just a quick point in relation to what we were talking about a little earlier.
Yeah.
On de-icing planes. We spent Christmas in America, in Missouri. And where we were in Missouri, all over Christmas, the temperature was way up in the 20s, which was unheard of, really, for that time of year. But on the day that we were due to come back, there was a dramatic drop in temperature. And by the time we got down to St. Louis Airport, it was minus 8. So the plane had to be de-iced. At least the wings had to be de-iced. Now, that only took them about 15 minutes. And it was the equipment they used over there of blowing into the wings. I don't know what they use, obviously. But it delayed us by about 15 minutes. But then the pilot announced that he would make that time up while we were going forward down to Dallas-Fort Worth, which he did. But as I say, it was literally 15 minutes to de-ice the plane.
So basically, it was a problem that was solved quickly.
Absolutely.
What do you think this says about the way we cope with our airport?
Well, I think there's lessons to be learned from whatever they do in America. And I don't often say that, Andy.
We'll see. All right, Jeff, have a good time while you were away, by the way.
Oh, it was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, we did. It was superb.
Good. Right, thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye now. 21 minutes before 1. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. We're on through till 1 today. And Peter's with us now. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Murcott here, and wish you a very happy new year. And,
a happy new year to you too as well.
Yeah, and best of health as well.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes. One of the things is when you're waiting to come on the man in line, you come on with a subject, then you hear somebody say something which is very pertinent to your own thoughts. If I could just comment on an earlier caller who was ringing about the this whole question about people collecting the pension and the post office and so on.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated also by your question when you said, do you have any sympathy with them? And she said no, and I couldn't help bursting out laughing because I feel the same. You see, they're trying to... What is extraordinary about the present government is that they are expending really eye-watering amounts of money on this notion of climate change and all the costs that it's coming, putting millions and millions and millions away for it. You then come to something which is actually, relatively speaking, a fraction of the cost, about people picking up pensions from the post office, and they suddenly, the purse strings start tightening on that. I wish they'd tighten the purse strings on some of the other things that they did, and then they wouldn't have these problems. So that's my take on it. I have every sympathy with that lady. Now, I'll just say one or a couple of other things. I don't actually use the post office, and we don't even call it the pension. We've got a better name for it, because it reminds the powers that be that we have earned what we're getting. We call it the silver salary, and that is what it is. And it should be reflected in the fact that people have worked hard over many, many years, have paid their rates and taxes, and they actually deserve something a bit better than this, that what they're getting. I think the other problem, of course, it's this catchphrase I've talked about before, which is meaningless in practice, about the inclusive society. And the inclusive society does not include, it would seem, people who do not have the sort of instant resources that are expected of them. You see, they act as if everybody's on the internet, as if everybody's on a mysterious thing, which I've no idea what it is, called an app. And they assume, therefore, that there's nobody who doesn't have access or understand these things. Now, if they really meant anything by the inclusive society, they would recognize that there is a body of people who do not fall into the required norm. And that's a message that I think that people, whether they're older or not, need to get through. I want some meaning, practical application on this catchphrase, meaningless one, about the inclusive society. And the starting point could be about people who are having difficulty, like that lady, with regard to being able to access something which they're perfectly entitled to. You see, older people can't travel miles and miles the same as when folk were younger, and I don't think that's taken into account as well. So it's a point that needs to come up at the next election, and the expenditure of money. Now, that leads on to why I did ring. We've had this business about the bishop's vote. Now, to answer David's question, it has been deferred until the next sitting of the House of Keys, which is probably not too far away in this month. Another thing that's been deferred, of course, is the Education Amendment Bill, which I'm not going to comment on any further now. So that's the answer. It will come up again. But if you added up the man hours that have been spent on discussing this issue, which is a non-issue, it's almost symbolic and symptomatic of the government that we've had that has wasted time on that, and that has been a thorough waste of time. They've acted almost as if it was of a crisis of the first order, those who've been pushing for this, when in actual fact it's a non-issue. And they've wasted money, and this is even more serious, on the matters that I've just talked about. All these windmills, which are going to run away with an eye-watering amount of money in the final analysis, and it will all be to no purpose in the end. So we really need, at the next election, we need some very close questioning of people. How do they see the governing of this country? Where are their priorities? And are they going to continue to waste money and, equally importantly, waste parliamentary time on issues that are neither use nor ornament, and which really do not make an atom of difference to the governing of the Isle of Man? And I say light with the bishop's vote.
Okay. All right, Peter, we appreciate it.
Okay.
Good to
That's
hear
my
from...
New Year's message, Andy.
Thank you. All right, it's a quarter to one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Save 17% on the Loganair Tartan sale with promo code WINTER17. Book now at loganair.co.uk. TCs and exclusions apply, subject to availability.
Geoffrey, that suit looks terrible. The sleeves are far too long and it doesn't button up in the middle. You need Made to Measure.
Made to Measure? See if I could afford that.
You didn't complain when Spectrum made all our bespoke windows.
Ah, that was different. At Spectrum, you get a bespoke service at an off-the-shelf price, whether you choose quality PVC or aluminium.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Cannell's Agricultural Supplies have been serving the good folk of the North for over 30 years. Supplying homegrown wheat, whole and rolled oats, working clothing, fencing, animal feeds, parts, tools and emergency supplies. Call Julia on 880206 or find Cannell's on Facebook.
It's the glow up your home deserves. The Lifestyle Furniture Winter Sale is now on. Huge savings on our most sumptuous sofas. Dreamy discounts on beds and mattresses, including premium brands like Harris & Spinks. And 20% off all accessories. Mirrors, lighting, rugs, art, the details that dazzle. All with free home delivery island-wide and finance options subject to status. The Winter Sale at Lifestyle Furniture. Now on at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
At Ramsey Garden Centre on Albert Road, enjoy up to 70% off selected Christmas items. Brighten your season with unbeatable bargains. Open 7 days a week. For holiday cheer and great deals, there's only one Ramsey Garden Centre.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Man in Line.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Val. Hi, Val.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year.
And you too as well. What's on your mind?
Well, I can't believe that the Isle, our airport is shut all day. For several reasons. We've got a de-icer. I'm sure the Civil Defence could help clear it away, the ice and snow, and other people. What about the scouts, etc.? When we had the big snow and everybody mucked in, I can't understand why people can't go and help muck it in and clear it all. There's no end of people being inconvenienced. I have friends myself who should have been flying away and connecting flights. It's a whole load of stress then for that, and likewise people returning to the island. And I cannot understand why they cannot do it. You've got 24 MHKs who could actually roll up their sleeves and get stuck in as well. I know the bit about the comfort breaks or the whatever the breaks you call them.
Yeah.
But in the hospital, when somebody comes in ill or several come in at once to the ward and so on and so forth, you just have to delay the breaks and you get on with it. Same with the doctors and the nurses, etc. The other day in Peel, there was a call out and the Peel boat went out, and it was about tea time it went out. Now, no doubt those people were about to have their evening meal, so they went on and they were out all night. So, I mean, people can actually go a little bit beyond. And for the inconvenience, of everybody who, when the flights, you know, are hanging around for another three quarters of an hour, not to mention the cost. I mean, who pays for that extra fuel? Is that the Isle of Man paying for the fuel while they're filling in time to land?
Well, we don't know. But I mean, the thing is that everybody, there's always a reason. There's always a, and somebody sent a message in just to say, how many times do you have to say a reason before it becomes an excuse? And really, this shouldn't be happening. Somebody somewhere should take responsibility for this and just say,
exactly,
we need to open it, come what may. It needs to be open, and let's pull out the stops until it is opened. Unless, you know, this is not Schiphol. These aren't 5 mile long runways. This is a small runway
on
the Isle of Man.
I mean, it's a nonsense. It can't be opened. There's enough people, I'm sure, willing to muck in. Probably passengers who would have liked to have been going on a flight. I mean, I don't know how many flights it's cancelled, but it's a loss, and it doesn't do the Isle of Man any good. How many flight controllers are we actually short out of interest?
Oh, crikey, I'll probably get this wrong, but off the top of my head, I think we need 15, and there are maybe 9.5 or 10.5 now that we have. Somebody will tell me the exact figures, and if you do have them, tell me. But and all they ever say is, you know, these are very transferable skills. We seem to lose air traffic controllers fairly regularly, so there must be a reason for that. But the fact is, we just don't. We used to have enough air traffic controllers.
Are you saying that we've got a lot more flights? I don't know why, we've having now.
We've got far fewer flights than we used to. Do you remember all the destinations we had? We had the East Midlands, we had Gloucester. There we were flying.
Yeah,
more,
but you had different ones, but then other ones have been dropped and new ones have come in. But it just seems absolutely ludicrous to me that it's closed all day. I cannot believe they couldn't have worked on it this morning and got it going. And then, afternoon, we know that it stays open late on occasions. And it just seems madness to me personally. As I say, and they must know the flights are going to come in because they're talking to whatever airport they're departing from. So they must know if, say, the flight's due at 7 p.m. They must think, right, well, we need however many. Again, I don't know how many they need to get a plane in, if there's two, you know, controlling, etc., to come in. But they must be able to do that. And if they have to have their break a little bit longer, a little bit later, I don't think it's the end of the world, personally.
Well, as you say, we all know somebody who will have been due to be leaving the Isle of Man today, possibly can't get away till Wednesday, and that's just another excuse. And you know, and again, when that person gets asked, they may be the other side of the world, and they say, well, why were you delayed over the Isle of Man?
Well, exactly. Well, one of the ones, she's flying on to Australia. And so, you know, she was flying out this morning, or should have been, and then getting on later. So now, obviously, she's going to have to go either boat tonight or something tomorrow. And then will it tie in with the next plane flying out there? I don't know. Unnecessary expense, and not to mention stress. You know, it's just awful. Mm. And I really feel that maybe the next lot of politicians need to really think this one out about the airport. As I was saying, we're wanting to be more international, and we can't cope with let's be honest, not a huge amount of snow.
All right.
Anyway, that's my bit.
All right, Val, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today. I think we found Paul again. Hello, Paul. Maybe we haven't found Paul. In that case, we'll find Stephen with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Andy. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to all the listeners.
And to you too, as well.
Just a quick, to support what Pat was saying before, and also to support Peter, I think the fault lies over why we're in this muddle now with MyCard is the Chief Minister's amendment. Sadly, I don't think the MHKs who were wanting to get an extension on a form of MyCard knew or fully understood what his amendment did. It merely stopped Joni Farragher's amendment from having any effect. It was no good whatsoever for those who wanted a MyCard and a form of MyCard. We've got the added problem, certainly in the West, where I've met people who are very concerned about no bank accounts if they're forced to go off their MyCard. They do want some ability to get cash, because I've said before, both to the Chief Minister and the Treasury Minister, there is simply no banks in the West. There is ATMs, but if they're not working, where do you go then? It's a problem. And also, I'm astounded that the two Peel MHKs haven't raised this problem, because I've certainly met plenty of pensioners who still receive their money in cash and want to continue getting cash. So I can't understand why they're not pushing to get the MyCard muddle resolved, because it is now a muddle. We don't know whether we're going to get cash. The Chief Minister said one thing. The Treasury Minister has said another. His head is in the clouds. He is adamant, I believe, that he does not want to extend cash for pensioners. Why? Nobody knows. How do we get rid of these people? It's our system. Only the people of Ramsey can vote for them. And it's just a muddle with MyCard, and it further shows that sometimes they don't really care about the small people. And in any community, a mark of a good society is how it treats its minorities. And in this case, there's a minority of people who desperately want to get their cash, their pension as cash, and it's simply being frustrated by this administration, namely the Treasury Minister and also the Chief Minister. There's where the fault lies, and I do hope that some MHKs at the next sitting will seek to have them to reintroduce a form of MyCard for all those that want it, not these mealy-mouthed words that they've used to avoid giving those that want cash in their pensions.
Now, Stephen, I am sure if we spoke to a politician eye to eye and said, it seems you don't care about small people, they'd jump back and say, well, of course we do.
They would give us warm words, Andy, as both the Treasury Minister gave me when I spoke to him on Man and Line about it, and also the Chief Minister. If you remember, I asked the Chief Minister, would he reflect on the issue of banking hubs? Now, I know that was empty words. I know it was wasted words of me saying it, but I felt it had to be asked. But I don't expect any action off this administration. They consider us just immaterial. People ringing Manning Line, who are they? But we do represent a lot of people who we speak to.
Okay. Stephen, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. We have such a small airport. I wonder if it's possible to have thermal covers for the runways. Thermal covers? It might be a daft idea, says H, but surely there's a better solution to the having to close the airport. Got a note in from Michelle Haywood. Michelle, the minister, says we've got 15 APCOs, air traffic controllers. We need 18 to be fully staffed. Training is at its limit now, so until those staff pass their exams, we can't take on any more APCOs, even qualified APCOs. Transferring in must do additional training for Manx airspace. Airport staff started work before dawn this morning to try and clear the snowfall that came between 3 and 4 a.m. When I lived in Canada for about 4 years, says Frank, we had 2 to 3 feet of snow. Never stopped the country from operating as they normally do. What is it about the Isle of Man? 2 inches of snow and the world ends. That's it. Back tomorrow.